Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation chapter 22, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1352. And beginning with verse 8, we will read through verse 14. The text verse is the 13th verse. We'll read responsively verses 8 through 14. Let's stand, please, together for the reading of God's Word. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And let's read together also the 14th verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And I'll read another portion. You will not turn to it, but I'll read for you the 10th verse of the 9th chapter of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And let's pray. Father, what a great joy it is to have this place of gathering, this church, and how special it is to us. Our friends are here, and we are fed continually from thy word. Thank you for our preacher, and thank you for this great gathering of people today. Thank you for our own people. Thank you for those who are our guests. We pray that thou would speak to our hearts plainly and help our hearts to be so that we will receive of the good things of the Word of God even this day, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If I were a psychiatrist, a psychologist, I would want all of my patients to hear this truth that I'm going to give you this morning. If I were conducting a motivation seminar for salesmen or workers in a secular vocation, I would want to have this truth taught somewhere on the program. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the beginning is at the end of the end. The beginning is at the end of the end. We read a while ago this passage. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now listen to this. Three times there he said the same thing. He said, here's what he said. I am the beginning and the end, and the beginning, and the end, and the beginning, and the end. That's what he's saying there. He's not saying the same thing three different ways. He's saying that, though he does, he's repeating the same thing. He's listing six things. I am the beginning, and end, and beginning, and end, and beginning, and end. I want you to notice this, though. There's no second beginning, but there's a first end. Without the ending of the first, there's no second beginning. You can't say, I am the beginning, and the beginning, and the beginning, and the beginning, and the beginning. You can't say that, because there's no beginning until there's an end. And I want you to follow me. I'm going to use a little play on words several times, and you'd have to follow me carefully. Now, I don't want you hanging around down there sleeping now. I want you to wake yourself up, and I've got something I want to say to you. If you're not going to listen to me, then I'd rather avoid going out and get in the car and go home. Because you may keep somebody in front of you from listening also. because I want to help you, and I can't help you unless you listen. The wise man said, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let me paraphrase that. The completion of the fear of the Lord. The ending of the fear of the Lord. I mean the totality of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Until you have totally learned to fear God, you can't begin with wisdom. Until the fear of God is totally completed, or until the work of fear of God is finished, you can't begin to have wisdom. Because the beginning must follow the end of the ending. Father, bless our discussion this morning. I wish I could get folks to listen. I wish, for courtesy's sake, for decency's sake, for integrity's sake, for interest's sake, I wish I could. Oh, there's so many things I want people to know. And this morning's message is one of them. And so give us, I pray, an ear to hear what the Spirit said to the church today. Amen. Now let me have your mind very, very attentively. Let me have your mind. The word beginning in the Bible is the word, in the Greek, is the word arche, like we'd have arch at the top. It means the best first. That's what it means. It means first in quality and first in order. It does not just mean the first in order. For example, the best day of the week is Sunday, and the first day of the week is Sunday, which means Sunday is the beginning of the week. Now, the Bible differentiates. Now, hear me carefully now. The Bible differentiates between the beginning of something and the start of something. Starting something does not mean that you've begun something. So, since the beginning follows the end, I am the first, the last, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I am the first and the last, and the first and the last, and the first and the last. And you can't be the second first till you have the first last. Or it's no beginning. It may be a new start, but not a new beginning. Now, let me make some statements to you. The beginning always follows the end. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Second do cannot come properly until you finish the T. If you say do re mi do la ti do, then you messed up. Not you met. It's no beginning. You see the do. I don't mean the money. The not the bread. The do is second. It's a new beginning, and it follows the ending. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You got that? I want you to know that now. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Now, you start on Sunday. That's the new beginning. But you can't have Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, until you've had Saturday. Now, you may call Saturday Sunday, but it's not Sunday. So you cannot start the new week until you've finished the old week. The beginning is built on the end. If you do not finish, you cannot begin. Nature is that way. This pulpit is made of wood. This wood came from a tree. But it could not be used to build this pulpit until the ending of the life of the tree. Atonement is in all of nature. So I'm saying that the end had to come of this piece of wood before the beginning of it being a pulpit could start. Salvation is that way. Nobody's ever saved till his own works are ended. Keep on trying to work your way to heaven, you'll die and go to hell. Keep on trying to join the church, take communion, go to confession, get confirmed to go to heaven, you die and go to hell. The way you go to heaven is when you finish your own works and quit your own works, stop your own works, and the end of your own effort is the ushering in of a new beginning. But no ending of your own effort, no new creature, no new birth. The new birth is impossible because the Holy Spirit will not fulfill His duty of regeneration or work of regeneration until we have ended our own work. God's will is that way.
You'll never know God's will till you end your own will. As long as you have a will of your own, you'll never know God's will. So you'll not have the beginning of the will of God till you have the ending of your will. You've got to lose your own will. I told you many times, when I came to Hammond, I called my pastor, an old pastor, he's in his late 80s, then, almost 90. And I said, Brother Sizemore, I know you're not pastoring anymore, but you're my preacher. And I need some advice. I said, I've been asked to go consider First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I do not want to go, but they contacted me. And I said, should I go? And he said, well, if they contacted you, maybe you ought to go visit. And I said, but how will I know the will of God? And he said, son, the first thing you've got to do is lose your own will. Now, until you end your own works, then the work of the new birth cannot be done in you. Till you end your own will, the work of the will of God cannot be revealed to you. The same thing is true concerning life. Jesus said, he that seeketh his life shall what? Say it. Lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall what? Find it. That means that you find your life. The new life is found by ending the old life. Until you end the self-life, you'll never know the new life. Every beginning must be built on the foundation of an ending. The end ushers in the beginning. Hey, I got some news for you. You know how to get in the second grade? You finish the first grade. And if you have finished the first grade, whether you like it or not, you are in the second grade. But you cannot be in the second grade until you finish the first grade. You're learning stuff here. You'll never hear anywhere else in your life. But I'm saying that you don't begin anything. The beginning attacks you when you finish something. I'm going to have a new beginning. No, you don't do that. The fellow said to me, I need to work on a fresh start. No. You work on finishing. When you finish, the fresh start takes care of itself. I got news for you. You finish 1985, and I'll guarantee you, you can't make 1986 not come. Only way you're going to know 1986 is finish 85. And if you just finish 85, then you'll be in 86. I'm saying that the end ushers in the beginning. Let me say this, and well, this is worth your hearing too. Most mental problems could be cured by this truth. Now follow me. I get frustrated to the high heavens if I get involved in a problem that's not going to be solved. You're on the telephone. Hello, Gertrude. I wish I hadn't said Gertrude. Ever Gertrude here is going to get mad at me now. Hello, Gertrude. I've already got you mad, so I'll go ahead and use the name. Did you hear thus and so? Oh, no. Now, the thing you're talking about, you cannot solve it. So you're leaving in your mind unfinished business. And those little unfinished business things, they dangle in your mind and cause a web of unfinished businesses. And they frustrate you. I'll be honest with you. Brother, anything that I can't finish bothers the fire out of me. You've heard me say this. I go somewhere to sign a Bible, and sometimes I'll sign 1,000 Bibles a night. And I'll go somewhere to sign a Bible, and I'll write my name in there, Jack Hiles, and I'll forget to close that A. There'll be a little space there in the A. And sometimes I get the word about it. I say, hey, you over here. Hey, you at the door. Come here a minute. I want to see you. I didn't close the A in your Bible. Let me finish the job. A person comes back, and I close the A. Why? Because it frustrates me. And I'll tell you what. That's why gossips are more nervous than folks that aren't gossips. Because they spend their lives discussing things, problems they cannot solve. And so, in your mind, In your mind, there are dozens and dozens of things that you have been discussing that you cannot solve, that you cannot finish. And because of that, you cannot start anything because you cannot begin something till something else has been ended. So the way to always have many exciting new beginnings is to always finish what you do. That's it. Folks that don't finish what they start don't have any exciting new beginnings. Because you may have a start before you finish something, but you won't have a beginning before you finish something. And listen, the person who always finishes, that's why mothers say, clean your plate. Clean your plate. There was a problem with me. I cleaned mine. They wrote the plate there. But clean your plate. Eat took out. Now why? Psychologically, that is the only thing to do. Because no child should be allowed to go start his life not finishing what he starts. Because the lack of finishing that leaves unfinished business in the mind. And when the mind is cluttered with unfinished business, then the mind can have no beginnings, because the way to always have many exciting new things is to finish the old, because a new is the cocoon that springs from the finishing of the old. You ruin the beginning but not finishing the end. The end and the beginning are Siamese twins, and you can't have one without the other. Let me illustrate. We're going to build a house, Brother Al. We're going to lay the foundation first. But before the foundation's finished, we're going to put up the walls. Now, will the walls be what they ought to be until the foundation's finished? No. Now let's do. Let's put the walls in, and before the walls are finished, let's put on the roof. What do you say? Listen, you're not going to build a successful house until you finish the foundation, then start the walls, finish the walls, then start the decking, finish the decking, then put on the shingles, then put on the roof. You will not build a successful house until you have finished what you start before you begin something else. And you're not going to have a successful life until you finish what you start before you begin something else. Illustration. Here's an illustration. Young man quits high school. Quits high school. Which is stupid. And he's starting. The worst thing about quitting high school is not that you don't finish high school. The worst thing about quitting high school is that you're getting in a habit of not finishing what you start. I don't care if you go to high school, it doesn't teach you a thing. You start it, finish it. But he gets that. So what does he do? He's sorry. And they always are. Nobody ever came to me and said, "Thank God I didn't finish high school." Nobody ever says that. All across this country, I meet Howells Anderson College turncoats and washouts. And they say to me, "Preacher, tell the students that are there not to quit till they get the degree." But the fellow, he's sorry he quits high school. "Boy, listen to me. Oh, good night. I want to grab you and butt your head against the brick wall and say, 'Chopper!' And listen to me. I'm trying to help you. And by the way, same folks that won't finish anything, the same folks don't want to learn anything either. That's why you didn't finish it. Now listen. So this fellow says, "Okay, I wish I'd finished high school." Now what does he do? He goes down, takes the test, and gets his GED. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I'll probably make some enemies here, but GED does not impress me at all. A fella can drop out of high school and know he can get a GED later on. He knows it before he drops out of high school. Now, that doesn't impress me. Now, if it depresses you, I'm still not mad at you, but I just am not enchanted with the GED system. But anyway, so what happens? He goes to college. Does he begin college? No, he doesn't begin college. He starts college, but he does not begin college. What am I saying? I'm saying he takes English 101. What is English 101? It is a non-credit course that you must take to get what you missed in high school. Now, has he started college? Yes. Has he begun college? No. He takes Math 101. What's Math 101? Math 101 is what you take that's a non-credit. It gets you to know enough math so you can begin your college education. So you've started the college, you're in the college, you live in the dormitories, you've been there for a year, but you've taken Math 101, English 101, History 101. Why? To get you caught up so you can begin what you started. Now, you may begin college without finishing high school, but you can't start. I mean, you start college without finishing high school, but you can't begin college without finishing high school. Boy, if I could get you to do this, I'm talking about a little child, when he cleans up his room, he ought to finish it. Oh, but you say, "I get so frustrated. I just do it myself." You're rearing a child that won't finish anything. And because he won't finish anything, he won't start anything, because you cannot begin something until you have finished that which is before. And so he cannot have beginning. I am the first and the last and the first and the last and the first and the last. Beginning and the end and beginning and end and beginning and end. You can't begin till you have finished the other. And you train that little child not to finish what he starts. I'm talking about the food on his plate. If you put that food on his plate, I don't care if he
grows a beard before he finishes it. Make him sit there and he finishes it.
When he cleans his room, you ought to finish it. He's got kids going to mow the yard, you ought to finish it. The dad's going to mow the yard, you ought not to finish it. But I'm saying that the honest truth, we are so wrapped up in new beginning. I'm going to make a lot of folks mad this morning. I don't believe in bankruptcy. I may believe in a certain kind of a bankruptcy that provides you to pay your bills slower, more slowly, because you can't pay them. But I don't believe at all in this stuff of place going out of business and declaring bankruptcy and not ever paying the debts they owe, opening up the next week under a new name and never have to pay their debts. I don't believe in that kind of garbage at all. Brother, if you got some money from somebody, until you pay them what you owe them, you owe it the rest of your life. But you won't. You can have a new start declaring bankruptcy, but you can't have a new beginning. Illustration. Young person quits college. He goes to work and fails in his work. Why did he fail in his work? Because he didn't finish college. And a fellow who doesn't finish what he starts in college will not finish what he starts when he goes to work. You let a kid not finish his homework, not finish his plate, not finish his work, not finish his chores, not finish high school, he doesn't finish college, I'll guarantee you, brother, he won't finish much of anything in his whole life. And if he doesn't finish anything, he doesn't start. You know, my life is a series of beginnings. Fresh, new, exciting beginnings. You know why? Because beginning forces itself on you when you finish something. And when you finish what you start, the beginning attacks you. And it comes on its own. You don't plan a beginning, you plan to finish. Now, somebody said, I'm going to wipe the slate clean. You can't wipe the slate clean except by finishing. And that wipes the slate clean. Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end and the beginning and the end and the beginning. He did not say, I am beginning and the 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 beginning. And if you don't finish what you start, you're not right with God. And you washouts out of high school are not right with God. And you college quitters are not right with God. And you folks that have got to have a new job every 2 or 3 weeks because you don't like to kiss where you are, you're not right with God. And those of you who have not finished your own work and quit trying to work your own way to heaven and ended your own work, you'll never go to heaven because nothing will ever be new and bright and shiny until you have finished that which is old and worn out. Are you unhappy this morning? And hundreds of you are. You know why you're unhappy? Because you start something to make yourself, and listen, ladies especially, and men especially, other than that, you homosexuals can go back to sleep. So if you see anybody asleep, you'll know what they are. That woke everybody up. But here's what happens. Now listen to me. Here's what you do. You're always starting something new. But you never finish it. Anybody here ever take up ceramics? I didn't ask if you did. I said, anybody ever did? And never made a bowl? Any of you ladies decide that when you got older to take up piano and only played chopsticks? Anybody here ever decide to go to the health spa and lose 25 pounds? I didn't. I decided to lose it. I decided to keep it. There are hundreds of folks this morning that have had every kind of fad there is, but never finish anything. And those unfinished things are what confuses you. Are you unhappy? Okay. Do two or three things. First is, finish what you start. Number two, lose yourself. Come to the end of yourself. And you come to the end of yourself and say, okay, I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to quit trying to make myself happy. I'm going to quit trying to give myself peace. I'm going to quit trying to have friends. I'm going to just give myself to God, and I'm going to end and finish my own efforts for joy.
And when you finish your own efforts for joy and turn yourself over to the mercy of God, then God gives you a beginning of joy, but it cannot come until you end your own efforts. Anybody here seeking God's will this morning? Brother Howells, would you help me to know what God wants me to do? What do you want to do? Well, I want to go back to Florida where I grew up. Then you won't find the will of God. You'll probably go back to Florida where you grew up. You won't find the will of God. You will not find the new beginning of God's will until you have finished your own will.
And your own will is over, then God, listen, it forms a vacuum.
Look, when Saturday night at 11:59 is over and the clock strikes midnight and the week is finished, you can't stop Sunday from coming. It's coming.
When you get down to in December 31st, 1984, and the clock strikes midnight, you can't stop the new year from coming. It's going to come. And the life that is happy and exuberant and joyous is that life that says,
said of the shepherd who sought the lost sheep, until he find it. Until he find it. That's one reason why a lot of you folks, you kids, you started marriage but didn't begin marriage. Because you reached out before you finished what you're supposed to finish first.
And you reached out yonder and you got something that what you weren't ready for. I'm not scolding you. I'm counseling with the rest of you. You reached out and you got something that you weren't ready for because you hadn't finished your preparation. And life is, I want to.
That's why some of you ladies, I mention the word ladies too much. That's why some of you couples, that's why you're having all kinds of financial troubles. You haven't finished the young married couple age before you want to own the house that middle-agers ought to have. And have a dishwasher that middle-agers ought to have. And have a car that middle-agers ought to drive.
And so you're unhappy. Why? Because before you start a new era in life, you ought to finish the old era in life.
And then if you'll finish what you start, upon the finishing of that which you start, a brand new beginning opens up to you and it'll come like a flood tide. You can't keep it from coming. Why? Because so what you do? Well, should I begin again? No, you finish what you started and the beginning will come. Life can be exciting. Life can be an adventure. But life will not be an adventure if you've got to have something new and shiny all the time. The new and the shiny should not come until the old and the unshiny has been finished.
And until you finish what you start, you'll never have a beginning. You may have a start,
but you won't have a beginning.
And that's why we have folks at Howells Henderson College who have been there 4 years and are still freshmen. You know why? Because they didn't learn what they're supposed to learn when they were in high school. They got a diploma, but didn't finish high school. I said they got a diploma from high school, but didn't finish high school. Why? Because they were not taught to finish.
Be more concerned about finishing than beginning, then you'd have beginnings.
But somebody's got to have a new beginning all the time. And that's why listen, every once in a while some of these people will say to me, "Preacher,
you one of these preachers believes in easy believism?"
I guess you'd call me that. I call you a deadhead. You folks that call soul winners folks to be in easy believism.
But I want to say this to you. You know what being saved really is? Here's a fellow who's drowning. Somebody swims out to save him. What happens inevitably? As long as the fellow's got strength, he fights him.
And the fellow can't save him because he's being fought with the fellow that's drowning.
And how many times have you heard this? The fellow who's trying to save him doubles his fist up, knocks him cold, and then he's lifeless. then you can save him. Because he cannot resist. You know what being saved is? Being saved is nothing more than quit trying to save yourself. And if you say this morning, I've tried baptism, I've tried the Lord's Supper, communion, the sacraments, the priest, confession, confirmation, church membership, turning over a new leaf, I've tried to hold on to the end, hold out faithful to the end, but I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. Quit trying. And Jesus will catch you before you hit the ground. That's all you got to do. You got to finish your own works. And upon the finishing of your own works, a new beginning comes. And upon the finishing of your own attempts to be happy, a new beginning of happiness comes. And upon finishing your own will, in your attempt to do your own will, then the will of God comes like a cocoon. Why? Because until you finished, you can never begin. And that's why the Savior said, I'm the first, and the last, and then the first, and then the last, and then the first, and then the last. And that's why he could not say, it was while somebody says to me, oh, you come to Christ and everything becomes new. No, it doesn't either. No, you come to Christ and you become new. And he gives you a new thing, something to do, and you keep on until you finish it. Then he gives you something else to do, and you keep on finishing. And then he gives you something else, and you keep on to finish it. I'm thinking about a preacher right now. He's a better preacher than I am. He's more talented than I am. He's not as good looking as I am. But, oh, he is. He's better looking than I am, which is no great achievement. He has a better mind than I have. But you know he's my age right now and has never accomplished much of anything. You know why? Because every church he goes to, he leaves before his work's finished. And because he leaves before his work is finished, he never gets to begin anywhere. And he's never pastored anything more than a handful of people, though he's one of the greatest preachers and greatest men I know. He has never finished his work anywhere he's ever been. And now he's my age, wanting to know what to do. And I'm 58 trying to figure out how to get out of all the stuff I do. What's the difference? Finished. Jesus said, it is finished! And guess what came? An empty tomb. No finish, no empty tomb. Dr. Bill Rice, my good friend, and I'm through with this, had a stroke. He came up to have some treatments here with Dr. Streeter, and he would come every Wednesday and fly up, and he'd come and visit and sit right back here in the back, and he couldn't talk. He was could hardly walk and had a serious stroke. He was taking a rest one day, and his wife, Kathy, was there in the room. Kathy didn't know he had taken a turn for the worse. And Dr. Bill looked up and said, Kathy, it's finished. She said, what, Bill? He said, it's finished. She said, what's finished? He said, it's finished. She said, what, Bill? He said, Princess, it's finished. And like you'd go to sleep at night, he turned over. And a new beginning opened up. And he saw the face of his Savior. It's finished. Our Heavenly Father,